every time I get to come here. And I just really, every time I come here, I want people to feel the encouragement of the Lord, man. I want you guys to feel the encouragement and love of Jesus every time I come. It's not about the numbers that are in here. It's not about, you know, those things. It's about two or more gathering in his name. And that's what this is about. That's the kingdom. And that's what I love here about the Rock family is they have a kingdom mindset. And I love them. They're dear to my heart. Pastor Paul and I used to work together. That's how I met him, is through the Curry House in Lutheran Services Curry House. So I worked there and met him, and my pastor, Pastor Arnie, worked there. So we all got to know each other, man. And I was like, Pastor Paul, he is a hilarious, goofy dude. And I love him, but he's so genuine, and he loves the Lord, and he has a prophetic ministry on the inside of him, and it's powerful. So, man, I'm just going to pray. And then I've got a word for us that I hope will just encourage your heart and just give you some peace and just really minister to you. So, Father, I thank you so much, Lord. I just tell you, Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. Jesus, I want your words. God, I pray that this message would encourage us today. It would encourage myself. It would encourage the people here, Lord. I thank you, God. No weapon formed against anybody in here will prosper. Lord, I don't say that just to quote a scripture, just because it's familiar. Lord, I say the weapons of hell will pale and bow its knee under the cross and blood of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for freedom in the house tonight. Lord, I pray for your deliverance, healing power, God, the salvation, the sozo power of God to come. And I thank you, Lord, for the abiding presence, the glory, Shekinah glory that would come in this room. Lord, touch people. God, I pray that the spiritual realm, God, would be torn open, Lord. I pray that we'd not see in the natural, but we would see in the spirit this morning. Lord, I pray for those who have been prayed for up here for healing. Lord, begin to minister complete, total, miraculous healing in their bodies, Lord. I curse the enemy, Lord, right now. I rebuke the devourer in Jesus' name. And Lord, I speak life in abundance, Lord, over the people that are here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm. Man, that's good. Well, today, man, I just have I have a word, and I titled this message this morning. I was just thinking, I was praying, and I was like, Lord, what do you want to say? And I just, you know, I play a little guitar, and, you know, in my own time, I just kind of worship and sing to the Lord. And I started just singing this little chorus when I was just worshiping the Lord. And it was, I want to be a fragrance. I want to be a fire unto you. I want to be a fragrance. I want to be a fire. And so as I had been singing that for a couple of weeks just in my quiet time, and then all of a sudden I'm sitting here praying for the service, you know, last week, and it just fragrance hit me again. And I was like, that's it. My heart, I just knew. And I started doing some word studies. I started praying into that fragrance. So I titled it Becoming a Fragrance, that we're all called to become a fragrance, pleasing aroma to the Lord. So, man, when we talk about a certain word, let's define this thing. Let's ask the Lord. Let's look at the word that says, what? We talk about fragrance. It's all throughout the word. You talk about all the different sacrifices, all the different aromas that were pleasing unto the Lord. So, biblically speaking, in Hebrew and Greek, they really all mean the same thing. A fragrance or a savor. Most of the time you would hear that word savor. And it just simply means a scent, a fragrance, aroma, or an odor. Even in the Old Testament, that odor, it said it was one that had a context of soothing, a soothing odor. Something that, have you ever been somewhere and there's just all this stuff going on in your life and you walk in, maybe a candle's burning or something's going on, you're just like, oh, it's just that kind of, for whatever reason, that smell just brings a peace and it just kind of calms you down a little bit and relaxes you for whatever reason. There's that soothing aroma that, oh, yes, there's some kind of satisfying thing about smelling something. I mean, you know, whenever you walk into a room and something doesn't smell good, you're like, oh, what is that? And it's just, I mean, if you weren't awake, you're awake. You're like, gosh, that's horrible. You know, it smell is something that God gave us. It's a sense that we have. God talks about those pleasing aromas, and The word says that we are a aroma. We are a fragrance to those who are being sanctified among, and then actually among those who don't that don't follow the Lord, it's a repulsive smell at times to them. They hate that smell. The demonic hates that smell. But to those who are being sanctified and those who are being called to walk with Christ, it's a beautiful fragrance. And so in the Hebrew and Greek, it's the same thing. But I noticed as I was reading, you know, I just looking this up in the Vines Dictionary, fragrance. And it said most always, I found as I was researching this, that the fragrance and the odor was always connected to sacrifice. Usually, almost always, it was connected to a thing called sacrifice. And that was his primary deal. When there was a pleasing aroma, you go look throughout the scriptures, you go look through the word, Old Testament and New, there was usually some type of sacrifice connected to this aroma. So I would like to read this first verse with us here. I've got a bunch of verses, so we'll read this one first couple together, and if you get tired of flipping and flipping, you can just write them down and go look for yourself to show that I'm not just making these verses up. You should do that. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. So this is, as you're turning there, we're breaking into the part where this is where Noah has just experienced the flood. He's been in the boat, and now the waters have receded down. Everything has gone down, and he comes out, okay? So he's ready. They're ready to come out and be on dry land. And this is where we pick up. So in verse 20, it says, "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and he took some of every kind of clean animal and every kind of clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. When the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, he said to himself, 'I will never again curse the ground because of man, even though man's inclination is evil from his youth, and I will never again strike down every living thing as I have done.'" So I want us to just pause here for a minute. This aroma, okay, the way I read this is that Noah takes some, not all, but some of each animal that were clean. Not the pigs, unfortunately, not the camels, but the clean stuff. And he sacrifices one of those, some of those, on the altar. And this aroma is so pleasing that God does something pretty amazing. He makes a covenant. I never put those together because I'm always like, yeah, he made the rainbow after the flood. But this is what led to that. And I thought, wow. This thing was so pleasing to God and so pleasing in heaven that he said, you know what? Now because I've smelt this offering and this sacrifice from you, I am now going to make a covenant with you that I'll never do what I've done here again. And to make a sign, I'll put a rainbow above you as a sign of my covenant. This thing was so pleasing. And I started thinking, just as I was reading just kind of last minute again on it, I thought, why was this a sacrifice, you know? And then I remembered, What did Noah do before the flood? He took two of every kind of animal, right? We know this. This is like grade school. Two of every kind of animal, and he put them on. Why? So they could procreate, right? And back then, animals were used a lot more for manual labor. They were used for food. They were used for different things, cheeses, goats, all those different things that were used for purposes. Now, here's just my personal revelation. I don't see this in Scripture, but I thought the Lord showed me this. It was really a sacrifice because he had to take some of these clean animals. Let's just say oxen, cattle, right? Good old hamburger, right? Maybe an oxen to help plow the field. And he took some of them, which means he had to take one, which left the other without a reproduction system. And I started thinking, now one of these, you know, he only took two of each that we know of. And now one of those is gone. So what they could have used there on earth for their benefit, they sacrificed on the altar to the Lord. And I start thinking, man, that's why it was a deep sacrifice. Because they may have been able to use that oxen. They may have been able to use that for a certain thing or a certain, maybe plowing a field. But now that animal's gone. And once that other one died, I mean, where was the reproduction? So I start thinking about this was connected to a sacrifice. That's why it was so pleasing to God, is there was sacrifice involved. Let's look at a couple other different types of sacrifice. So this was an animal sacrifice. Let's look at Leviticus 2, chapter 2, verse 2. Okay? And this particular offering was not a meat sacrifice. It was a grain offering before the Lord. And just to show you these different times, what I'm wanting to do is just show you, here's a pleasing aroma, here's a pleasing aroma, and the different types of sacrifices and offerings that were connected to it. So in Leviticus 2, verse 2, it says the priest will take a handful of fine flour and oil from it, along with all its frankincense, and will burn this memorial portion of it on the altar, a fire offering of a pleasing aroma to the Lord. So even this grain offering, they take this stuff here, and they mix a little bit of stuff together, they put some frankincense on it, and then they burn it before the Lord, and it rises. And the Lord said to do this because he found it pleasing. Again, a sacrifice. Again, sacrifice connecting itself to a pleasing aroma. Just track with me. I know we're just kind of going through these verses, but we're going to tie this in. So just keep on track with me, okay? Because I'm setting this up for what I really want to get to. And again, I got two or three more verses. I'm just going to kind of rattle them out. If you want to turn there, great. If not, that's fine. Exodus 30, verse 6, we're going to start. Exodus 30, verse 6. Am I doing that buzzing? I wasn't sure. Okay. Okay. I wasn't sure what I was doing. So Exodus 30, chapter 30, verse 6. And it says, and these are all these commands. It says, you were to place on the altar in front of the veil by the ark of testimony, in front of the mercy seat that is over the testimony, or I will meet with you. Aaron must burn fragrant incense on it. He must burn it every morning when he tends to the lamps. And when Aaron sets the lamps at twilight, he must burn incense. There is to be incense offering before the Lord throughout your generations. See, a pleasing fragrance and aroma was so important to God that he actually told them when they're building the temple that there needs to be, right here, a mercy seat. There was two angels. Like, if there was an angel here, and there was an angel here, let's say this is the mercy seat, and two angels were covering with their wings and touching, and their eyes were faced on the mercy seat. And it was so important to the Lord that he said, I want you to put a pleasing aroma right there before that place. A pleasing aroma. A pleasing aroma. It was so important that he said, not only do I just want it sometimes, I want it always. Always have a burning incense before here, a pleasing aroma. And you'll find as you read more in chapter 30 that even the anointing oil, it had to have a smell. It had to have a certain type of ingredient so that it was pleasing before the Lord. There was all these mixtures. He gave wisdom and revelation to certain men on how to be a perfumer and make these different types of things so that it would be beautiful scent before the Lord. Everything he did, all the anointing oil, the frankincense, the myrrh, the incense, the all this stuff had to be done in a certain order because God found it pleasing. And now we get to us. We get to us in Ephesians 5. And Ephesians 5, 2 says, and walk in love as the Messiah also loved us and gave himself for us a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. See, Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. He was the ultimate pleasing aroma before the Lord. This is what I want to get to. Why did God constantly I mean, there's all these requirements, all these things, and incense. All of that leading up to Jesus on the cross. A fragrant offering before the Lord. Time, year after year after year, burning the fragrance, burning it on the altar, taking grain offering, mixing all this stuff. It was all beginning to point to a man named Jesus who would lay himself on an altar and have the fire of judgment placed upon him. And it would release this aroma across the globe, causing people to draw near to God. This pleasing, that was the ultimate thing. And the word says, walk in love as the Messiah also loved us. So what is he saying? You need to be a sacrifice. You need to be a fragrant offering as Christ. Because this is what we're connecting it with. He says, and walk in love as the Messiah also loved us and gave himself up for us. So if he's saying that we need to walk in love, what is he's getting at is he walked in love by giving himself as a fragrant offering before the Lord, and that we're called to do that. We are called to smell like heaven on earth. As we walk around, we're called to smell like heaven on earth. Now, some of you, you're like, okay, well, what is all this, man, you're talking a lot about this fragrance thing. Why is it so important? Listen, if we walk around on earth here, okay, we can be complete. We can come to Jesus, right? We can come to Jesus, and he gives himself his nature to us. And we give him our sinful nature, and there's this great exchange. And what he gives us is eternal. But here's the deal. Some people will keep that aroma only to themselves. They won't allow people to get to a place where they can smell that aroma on them. You have to dig so deep, and you have to go so far, and you have to almost shovel for it and get so close to them and almost put your face up to their nose and smell them. Be like, oh, you do kind of smell good. You do kind of smell good. But God is calling us to be filling the room with the fragrance of heaven. He's calling us to walk, and as we walk in rooms, filling the atmosphere with heaven. Because Jesus said, he told his disciples, this is how you pray. Let heaven come on earth. Up here, there's all this fragrance, there's all this beauty, and let it be here too. Let it be actually in you as a believer. Let it actually get so into you and so ingrained in your mind and so ingrained in your spirit that you become that fragrant offering. Daily, Romans tells us to be a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. So it's a daily thing. You're walking every day, smelling, burning for the Lord, and it's releasing this thing everywhere you go. You know, maybe some of you are like, well, man, I mean, what is that? What do I have to do? It can be many things. This isn't like you're not doing something right. Your place becoming a fragrance can be done through many, many areas. One of the greatest, most powerful ways is prayer. Prayer will release a fragrance into heaven. I'm going to show you this. Watch this. And I want you to miss this because I know this is kind of wordy, and this is kind of like there's just a lot to it. But, you know, even in the Psalms, Psalms 141, 2, it says, may my prayer be set before you as incense, the raising of my hands as the evening offering. So he's connecting, raising his hands, and he's connecting his prayer to incense rising up before heaven, before the throne. He's connecting those two. And to take it further, let's go to Revelation to back this up. He shows us in Revelation, the Lord shows us how that works, how your prayers actually become fragrance to him. Watch this. This is cool. Revelation 8:3. It says, another angel with a gold incense burner came and stood at the altar. So this is where John is seeing. He's seeing all in the spirit. And he's just writing down exactly what he's doing. He's just like, okay, this is what I'm seeing. This is what's happening. This is what I'm being told. And it says, he was given a large amount of incense. This is the angel to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the gold altar in front of the throne. Other translations would say, he is given incense mixed with the prayers before the throne. So as you pray and as you seek the Lord, as you are crying out to him in the secret place, what happens is there's an in the angelic realm, they'll take your prayers here, and then he takes his incense from heaven, and he throws them together, and then they throw them up. It's like smoke rising. It's like an incense rising consistently before the throne. And it's God begins to smell that, and it reminds him. That reminds me of my son. That reminds me of that day on the cross. That reminds me, as you keep praying, maybe you're praying and you're praying and you're like, but nothing's happening. People aren't smelling that fragrance. I don't smell that fragrance. No, you keep burning. You keep praying. You keep seeking. You keep fighting. You keep believing. You keep confessing. And you keep going before the Lord and bowing down saying, God, help me. And at some point, it's going to release. At some point, it will happen. Now, I brought this little candle. All right. So I like, whenever I pray or read, I like to have this candle or a candle. The smell is really good. I don't know. I just like it. I like that. Do you want to smell this candle? I want you to smell this candle. Can you smell it? Can you smell that? What's it smell like? I mean, does it smell horrible? Does it smell pretty good? See, Pastor Paul, smell that. It smells like Christmas. You want to smell it? Yep. So, yeah, it's like a Christmas candle. I like to do Christmas all year round. I'm going to sing some Christmas songs in June just to mess people up, just jam up with my windows, Silent Night or something. That'll be a new video for you guys. So, interesting. Now, let me ask you this. So you smelt it, right? It was good. You smelled it was good. It was good, right? I smell it. It smells good. Back in the back, Brother David, can you smell this? You can't smell it, can you? Can you guys smell this? No, you can't. Why? Why can't you? Yeah, what? It's not burning. Okay? There's incense in here. Okay, don't miss this. There's incense. It's all the right ingredients, right? It's all in this candle. It's all here. But the problem is you have to get so close to it to smell it. It smells good. But no one else will ever smell that. If they ever walk by, if they walk in the room, they'll never know that thing's even there. What always, almost primarily, always accompanied sacrifice was fire. When you accompany your fragrance with fire, it releases the aroma. That's the key. So if I put this little wick on the end of a match that's on fire, and I leave it in here for an hour or two, and you walk in that room, you begin to smell it, don't you? That's what happens. You leave that thing burning, and sometimes, look, if I lit it right now, you probably wouldn't be able to smell it. 20 minutes, some of you in the front be like, well, what's that smell? Leave it a little longer, starts filling the whole room. The whole fragrance is moving as the air picks up, as the AC kicks on. It's pulling it into the vent and then distributing it out. See, this is what God's calling you to be. He's putting these things inside of you. He's put fragrance and oil inside of you. He's put his glory inside of you. And whenever you go and whenever you pray, whenever you fast, whenever you worship or sing, whether it's preaching, whether it's teaching, whether it's just doing your job unto the Lord, all of a sudden something happens. You start releasing that. You start setting yourself on fire. And as you're walking around, it's releasing this aroma. Now, I believe, you know, that scripture that I mentioned earlier in 2 Corinthians, I think it's 2 Corinthians 5, where it talks about we are a pleasing aroma to those who are, let me actually just turn there so I don't mess that up. 2 Corinthians 5, I just want to read it so I don't mix up my words. New Bible, everything sticks together. Lord, where is that scripture? I guess I didn't mark it. I believe it's 5. I thought it was 5. Give me one sec. I don't want to. I know. I should have wrote that down. That's what we have iPhones for, right? Yeah, okay, 2 Corinthians 2, that's why I was off. 2:15, all right, here we go. So, it says, For to God we are a fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To some we are an aroma of death, leading to death, but to others an aroma of life, leading to life. Now listen, period, the word says that we are an aroma to those who are being saved and those who are dying. Either way, we are the fragrance of Christ. It doesn't matter how someone perceives what you smell to be good or bad. The aroma of Christ is good because nothing comes from heaven but good things. Only my Father in heaven is good. It's what the Lord said. Why do you call me good? Only the Father's good. So in this, you know, I've noticed whenever I begin to walk around, if I pray for someone, if I do something, someone has come up to me at times and be like, man, why are you doing that? They're starting to smell something. Like, why are you doing that? And they're drawn to that smell. Why did you just pray for them? Why do you do what you do? And it begins to release that fragrance in the room so much that they actually come to you, or they'll notice. Maybe you will never get the testimony, but just living your life daily, burning for God, is releasing that fragrance, and they walk around you, and they just They have to go home and figure it out. And you may never know. You may never know what your daily sacrifice, your daily burning for him would do to the world. You have the right ingredients. You have the right things in you. Don't discount who you are. Don't feel like you don't have the oil in you. Don't feel like you don't have the fragrance or the aroma or the savor. You do have it. It's in you. But here's the deal. Don't let yourself burn out. Don't let yourself burn out. What do we have to do? What do they have to do? What do those priests have to do? Aaron and his sons always had to go in and keep that incense burning. What did they have to do to the fire? The Lord said that he is an all-consuming fire, and they had to go and put logs in the fire every single day. The fire must never go out. It must never go out. You have to put a log on it. You have to put a log on it. You have to daily. It's not about putting a bonfire together. It's about keeping something on there, keeping something on. Keep it burning. Why? Because God started the fire. He wants it to continue. He's asking us, will you keep putting a fire on there? Would you keep letting that thing burn? It's about consistency. It's not about a big whoosh and then it goes away. It's about consistency. It's about longevity. It's about burning your whole life, not just a portion. A revival happens, and then boom, it's gone. We've heard about those. But what about those who just keep going? Consistently leading people to a consistency about preaching the truth and not wavering from what God's word says. You're releasing the fragrance. And that's what God's called us to be and called us to do. Release that. It's in you. You know, I have one of my favorite scriptures, man. I want you to turn to this one. It's John 12, verse 3. Because we're going to look at what this looks like in the natural. Just what a true sacrifice would look like. It's John chapter 12, verse 3. We all know this story. But I love John's version of this because of how he describes this story. So this is Mary Magdalene when she pours out the alabaster jar over Jesus. And so in verse 3 it says, then Mary took a pound of fragrant oil, pure and expensive nard, and anointed Jesus' feet, wiped his feet with her hair, so the house was filled with the fragrance of that oil. So she took this thing, and remember, here's all this oilish, very expensive, not cheap, something that meant a lot, something that was expensive. She took it and poured it out on Jesus and then began to wipe his feet with her hair. So much so that oil, there was so much fragrance that it filled the whole house. That sacrifice, that was a sacrifice. Again, fragrance connected to sacrifice. Maybe, I'm not saying that you have to go and fabricate some kind of sacrifice. So, okay, man, I got to do this sacrifice thing. No. You obey the Holy Spirit. You obey the Lord. You just walk with he walks. You just go where he goes, and that begins to release something. You can't do this thing in your own effort. You can't do it. You can't make your own fragrance. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you releasing that fragrance. So when Mary does this, they ridicule her, some of her disciples. What are you doing? Man, we could have sold that thing and gave it to the poor. We could have done this. Why did you waste this? No. Jesus says, leave her alone. Leave her alone. What she's done here is a good thing. She's prepared me for burial. And her story will never not be told. And we're still telling it today, aren't we? Her sacrifice, think about this. She didn't know. Did she know her story would always be told? No, she didn't. Is that why she did it? No. What was she doing? It's our version of being led by the Holy Spirit. She was feeling compelled. She's looking and she's like, I just want to give this to the Lord. And she pours it out. And the whole room is filled. Can you imagine people walk in like, whoa, what is that smell? I mean, that's not cheap cologne. That's not cheap perfume. That's the good stuff. And they look over and it's like, whoa. They pour that all on him? See, sometimes your sacrifice, you may not know what it's doing to the whole room. Your sacrifice to the Lord, you may never know what it's doing to the people around you, but it's affecting them. It's getting on them. They're able to sense it, smell it. They're almost able to, it's like in the air, they can taste it. They almost grab a hold of it. It's like, it's so thick in here. We're called to be like, and who is Mary Magdalene? Man, look at her past. A prostitute. Unworthy, according to the standards of their day. But she encountered Jesus, and she released a fragrance in heaven, too. That was just, I believe, a picture of what was going on in heaven. Remember that mercy seat? I believe that that was a reflection of where she was at. She was at that mercy seat, and her offering was like that incense at the mercy seat being released. Why? Because it was at the mercy seat. It was at the mercy. What was he doing to that? What was he doing? He was showing mercy to someone who didn't deserve it. And it released an amazing miracle that day. Maybe some things that you've been doing. Maybe this isn't even about you doing it or not doing it. Maybe it's just encouragement for you to keep doing it. Don't let the enemy blow out your fire. He can't. You can only stop putting logs on it. He can't blow out your fire. He can only convince you, no, don't put any more on there. No, don't change out the wicks. Nope, don't go get a new candle. Don't chop any more wood. See, remember, if you want to keep fire burning, you got to chop wood. It's work. It takes sacrifice. Maybe it's you giving certain amount of money away because God's leading you to do that. But you don't know when you leave, you walked out of the building, you say, man, hey, it's $10, $5, $100, $1,000. It's not about the value. It's not about the amount. It's about your heart on why you did it. It's always about that. If your heart's connected to a quarter, if a kid comes up and gives me a quarter, dude, that could knock you out in the spirit. It could. Because it's about the heart of a child giving, and it releases something. Before I went to Nepal last year, my good friends, they're boys, their last name is the Watt, so we just call them the Wattage family. They're like electricity, man. They got three boys. I love them. And I was going to Nepal, and I was having a rough day. I walked in. We just moved into our new building over at Freedom Church, and we're just trying to get everything set up. And I walk in, you know, and I'm kind of like, okay, here we go. And Katie, Ben's wife, comes up, and she goes, hey, this is from my boys. And I was like, what's this? And there was some, like, coloring stuff and an envelope from each one of them. And I was like, oh, cool. And I opened it up, and they had given me out of their own allowance, their own money, they gave me an offering to go to Nepal. One had $20 in it, which is a pretty big amount for a kid that's, like, 10. And then down to their youngest boy who's, like, I think he's 5 or 6, and he had $5 in there. And, dude, that messed me up. It released something. It was like $1 million to me because their heart was in it. And they said, Aaron, they came up with this. We didn't. We didn't tell them to do this. They said, we want to give this to Brewer. We want to give this to Aaron. Here. And they colored a little picture and wrote something on it, gave that to me. Man, here's the deal. When I took that money and I went to Nepal, I took them with me and released a fragrance. Guess what? They get credit too in heaven. They don't even know. They don't even have that in their brain. They don't have a concept for that. But they were just obedient, and they had no idea that I took part of who they were, part of their scent, and brought it all the way halfway across the world. When I was praying for Hindus, when I saw people healed and saved over in Nepal, the Watts boys were with me. Their DNA, their fragrance was there and got released because they chose to make a sacrifice. That was a sacrifice for those little kids. I mean, they could have bought a lot of cool stuff that they thought was important. But they listened to the Holy Spirit and they said, I want to give that to Aaron. We don't understand sometimes the kingdom. We don't. Have you ever been around somebody, though? You get around them and you just feel better. You get around them and you're just like, gosh, there's something on this person. To me, that's like the aroma. That's the fragrance of heaven. That's that savor, that sweet. The Lord always talked about it being a sweet presence, or a sweet aroma. whenever you're in the room with the Holy Spirit, I call it the sweet presence of the Lord, the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit comes in the room and you just don't want to move. It's not loud, it's not intense, but it's so powerful at the same time. It's just that sweet presence. And it causes peace. It causes your mind to be right. It causes all anxiety that we're talking about today. It just causes that to fade away. And God comes in, he's just like, hey, just rest right here. Man, you can actually be that for people through your sacrifice, through your ways of following the Lord and just following his leading. I want to be consistently pouring out like Mary. Not holding back, but I'm going to pour this out. And all the while, guess what? Your story's being told. It's being told in heaven. It's being told by other people. You know, we always say it's bad to talk about people behind their back. Unless it's good, it's okay. I talk about people behind their back all the time, man. I talk about good things about them. I brag on Pastor Paul, man, all the time. We talk about him behind his back, and we're like, man, that Brother Paul, he's an awesome dude. We love him, you know? You know, and I felt like, too, on a quick side note, because the Lord reminded me of this, I felt like I got a word for you guys and just for this ministry. And something that you've heard a million times, but I just pray that this would encourage everyone here and encourage you guys. It's Isaiah 55. I just heard it like, Isaiah 55:8, boom. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. Now, how I was connecting that was I was looking around what you guys do day to day. Okay? Man sees this building. Man sees this congregation. Big mega ministries would say this would be even unsuccessful. It's not. It's not, well, I mean, they're not doing that great. They don't have this. They don't have that. That's what man says. I don't see that at all. And the Lord doesn't see that. And he's saying, no, my thoughts aren't man's thoughts. My ways aren't man's ways. This is my declaration. And he's saying, what I see is not what most people see. How I feel is not how most people feel. When God looks at this place, when God looks at Pastor Paul and Rachel and the Rott family in this ministry, in this church, he sees glory. He sees people that are of the kingdom. That's the word. He sees the kingdom in you. And I see this, and I heard this, that some of the rewards you will not see until heaven. Some of them. But it is going to blow your mind when you get there. That heaven is going to be an eruption when you get there, man. For leading these people. For taking in people that other people don't want. I remember I gave you a word. I remember that one time I spoke probably like 3-4 years ago that I saw you in a field. I closed my eyes. I saw you out there way out in the pasture, and you were a shepherd, and you were getting sheep that nobody else wanted, and you were bringing them in. And I think that's the most precious thing to the Lord's heart. And that's not negative towards anybody that's here. You can't see the enemy could take that and twist it and be like, well, what is he saying about me? That's not it. I'm saying what the world doesn't want, but God wants. God wants you. The world will make a system that says, you don't fit in here. No, God doesn't see it that way. My thoughts aren't like that. They do belong here, and I want them. The people that don't fit in society are some of the people that God loves and cherishes the most. That has tender affection towards. If you don't fit, good. Because you're probably on God's heart closer than you ever could believe. If you felt rejected your whole life, if you felt like you didn't matter, man, that's garbage. And I rebuke that in Jesus' name. You are God's heart. He made you. He doesn't make mistakes. He didn't take a bunch of dirt, breathe life in it, and send his son to atone for our sin for nothing. He did it for you. You matter. You have a worth. You have a destiny. You have a calling. Everybody has the ingredients. Keep putting the fire. Keep putting logs on the fire. Keep burning. Keep smelling like heaven. Keep praying. When you feel like I'm not doing anything, it's not working, nobody notices, you are. Who notices? The Creator. And that messes with our mind because sometimes we just need someone just to say, hey, man, I see that. I think maybe that's today. I see it. God's like, hey, I see Victory Life Church. I see it. They're precious people to me. I love them. And then you guys walk out of here and remember who you are. He's poured his anointing in you. We talk about that all the time, the anointing, the anointing. The anointing has a scent. No anointing oil was ever put together. You can go read all the ingredients. They all had to be specific. And they all had a scent to them. And it was always pleasing before the Lord. So sacrifice, fragrance, what do you most often have to have that released? Fire. Keep burning. Don't give up. And sometimes if it's not fire, because there are offerings and sacrifices, the Lord didn't require fire. You know, Paul said, I poured my life out like a drink offering before the Lord. And that, my friends, is definitely a sacrifice. What did Mary do? There was no fire there, but she did pour out that oil. And I believe the fire of God came in the spiritual realm and set her ablaze. That's what was releasing that fragrance. And some people would say, well, what about Jesus' sacrifice? There was no fire. Yes, there was the fire of judgment. He took that for us. And when that judgment and that fire hit him, it released something in the atmosphere. Because that's why that we read he was a pleasing aroma. Because that fire hit him. And he took that judgment for us so that we could become in the likeness of him. So you need to walk out of here today knowing who you are. You're the marksmanship of Christ. You're the fingerprint of God. He has infinite things in his hands, infinite ways of using you, infinite ways of speaking to you, infinite ways of using you for his glory. So if you feel insignificant, no. Because why? Because you compare yourself to other people. Nobody knows they're not good at something unless you look around and say, well, he does that faster, she does that better, more people like this. That's just a culture thing. You know, over in Nepal, amen. She was clapping. Over in Nepal, it is culturally, it's normal over there to just have about 97 different colors on every day. I mean, you just got the brightest cuts like a rainbow walking around, like a bag of Skittles. It's just like, boom! And I'm like, wow, dude, I love it. Africa's many times the same way. Here, that's kind of weird. People walk around in like 50 different colors, and you're like, what is that doing? All that is someone's preference. It's normal over there, not normal over here. What does it matter, really? It doesn't matter. It's the same thing when someone looks at you and says, I don't like this about you. That's not whatever. It's not my desire. It's not what most people think is good or what most people find pleasing. No, it doesn't matter. It's just different. It's just not normal according to culture. So God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And sometimes we can use that and it almost feels negative because it's like, man, I'm trying to do this thing, blah, blah. And God's like, no, that's not my thoughts. No, sometimes you need to be encouraged on what you're doing. He's saying, yeah, those are my thoughts. That negative junk that's trying to attach itself to you, that's not my way. My way is what you're trying to do. Sometimes we need to be encouraged with that scripture that actually what we're doing and actually what we're trying to do, the enemy's always trying to stop it and put lies in our mind. The devil's playground is between here and here. Always. That anxiety that we talked about, why would Peter tell us to cast our anxiety? Because the enemy's always going to try to put it on us. Always. I went through anxiety for 3.5 years daily, to the point where I almost thought I was going insane. I understand that. I have a new compassion, a new place in my heart for people who walk through that. But you know what? That whole while the enemy was trying to put that on me to make me believe that I was ineffective, that I wasn't doing what God was called me to do, that I wasn't going to amount to what I felt like I was called to do, and I almost just threw in the towel and gave up. And there were several weeks and maybe even months I just didn't put any logs on the fire. And I was like, man, I'm done. But God is faithful. He's faithful. When you give up, he's still there. When you ain't burning, he's still burning. And he's like, go ahead and put another one on there, son. I believe in you. And all of a sudden, I just kind of had to go in the spirit, chop a little bit of wood, and go, okay, all right, here's a twig. No, Aaron, chop that big one. Put it on there. All right. And I just got back to that place. And then people start noticing, man, there's something different about you, man. It's just the presence of the Lord releasing that fragrance. So I pray, man, I hope this all kind of made sense. I hope that this touched your heart. I hope that it's kind of a shorter message, just straightforward. There's a lot, maybe a lot of scripture in there. But, man, just know. Here's some sacrifice that you can do. Just pray. Just seek him. Seeking him is a sacrifice because you have to set aside time. You have to set something else over here in order to do that. And when you do it, it releases something. When you're praying in your room, in your closet, whatever you do, in your truck like me, singing to Jesus, praising God, making movies, all that, it releases a fragrance. You know why I do those? You really want to know why? Because I just love to make people laugh. That's really why I do it. If someone smiles, someone laughs, if someone gets joy out of it, then guess what? That's what I wanted. It releases something. There's a fragrance of joy. There's a fragrance of peace. There's a fragrance of put the fruits of the spirits in there. And you have those qualities in you. You have them. Let God burn in you uniquely and individually. Just be who you are. That's all he wants. So, Father, we thank you so much.